This is a Pinball News production.
What's with the sunglasses today, Ben? They're prescription, by the way.
I'm in disguise.
Secretly, he's our Australian dots guy, David Van Ness.
I like to draw Rob Zombie dots.
That's a really bad impression of him. Okay.
Should we tell our Australian dot guy joke?
There's a joke?
Why did we hire an Australian to do our dots and Rob Zombie? He was the most qualified.
You know what's interesting? I know we've kind of jumped ahead, but it was interesting with him because he's Australian and we're Americans, and most of the world has a more liberal view of sex than America does. And he had like a, what was it, the American witch, and she was like wiggling her butt or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, that's not nudity. And we're like, yeah, here it's considered nudity. He's like, what? It's just a bum. So there's an adult version of the dots as well as the speech. But it's an interesting cultural thing to learn. Texas?
Andy Leah.
Yeah. I guess he emigrated to Texas. Texas is actually more diverse than it gets credit for. Chuck, I was thinking that we should maybe talk about, before we get ahead into the questions, since we have way too much time, we should maybe talk about how you got started with the Rob Zombie game, why you picked it, how you went about acquiring the license, how you segued from America's Most Haunted. You know what? I should interview Chuck about it. What do you think?
Can you tell we're really prepared here today?
Yes. Instead of spending 12 hours yesterday writing a script, we spent 12 hours yesterday drinking at Pinball Life.
So, speak for yourself there.
Mr. Chuck Emery.
Yes.
You've created the most coveted game about paranormal ghost hunting pinball machines ever created. Yes, Roger Sharp has called it the finest game called America's Most Haunted I've ever seen. And now you've segued that into Rob Zombie. So tell us, why Rob Zombie?
I am a huge Rob Zombie fan. That's the entire story.
Okay, well, good night, folks.
No, I knew Rob was a pinball guy. I knew Rob had games. He's a little bit of a throwback to like 70s and 80s culture. He just loves all that stuff, so pinball definitely fits into that vibe with Rob, and I guess we're going to talk about Rob Zombie today. Literally got a hold of his manager on a whim, took a shot, just hoping that maybe he would even consider talking to us. And at that point, you know, we'd delivered maybe, I don't know, 50 to 75 America's Most Haunteds.
That was before we became rock stars in Texas.
Yeah, before Texas turned us upside down, literally. And to my surprise, within 24 hours, I got a message back from Rob's manager saying, absolutely, he wants to speak with you. And I thought, no way. And it did not take long to get a license going. They threw a number at me. I almost cried and passed out. And I said, realistically, this is what we are, what we can afford, and took a lot of the money that we had gained from America's Most Haunted and rolled it straight into Rob. And they came to reality pretty quick, negotiated very fast. And then I began to learn how incredibly hard it is to get music licenses. Literally everybody who has ever touched an instrument in the room is going to get something. KT has literally written checks for $35 to somebody who was there once. And that covers all 300 games. But they get like 0.0-something%, and she has to write them a check. So,
yeah, the music itself is more expensive than the Rob Zombie license. Is that correct?
It's on par.
Right.
It's on par.
So basically, the development of Rob Zombie has been more spread out. Instead of America's Most Haunted, where I did quite a bit of the work, it's spread out over more people, which is great, which means we can spend money. We can basically distribute it more. Like, we can use some of the money. Instead of, like, paying Ben to, like, pull his brains out, like, programming for 6 months. That money can be spent on a license. We can spend this money on a dot guy. It's been spread out more, which is good because it gets more people involved and we get more opinions and feedback. I mean, you don't just want my feedback because that can be dangerous.
And it's been kind of nice, too, on Rob Zombie because, again, Ben is America's Most Haunted. He did absolutely everything, turned it over to me. I did all the production manufacturing.
You fixed
CAD.
All my mistakes.
Yeah. Got it to the point where it was manufacturable in metal instead of, you know, whatever Ben had laying around his shop that day.
So, foam core and funky foam forever.
Nordmanite.
Well, I mean, I saw the, what was it, the Nightmare Before Christmas prototype out there, and yeah. I really appreciated the fact that he was doing it all with paper and foam. Because, mm-hmm. like, you can shoot in that, and you make sure that works, and then you spend money on ramps. So, you know, it's a learning process. But with the Rob Zombie game, Chuck obviously knows how to build games. Obviously, I don't. I mean, that's his job. He builds the games. So he's developing it in a way that it's easier to manufacture than America's Most Haunted, so we can achieve cost savings there as well.
And, of course, by the time Ben was done with the code and everything else on America's Most Haunted, he's like, I never want to see another game again.
I don't have an America's Most Haunted, and I never will. If you want to sell me one, I'll set it on fire and blow it up. No, I mean, it's true. Once you've spent like 3 years on something, it's like you look at it and
Dennis has his thumbs up back here. How many of your games do you own, Dennis?
I have zero games.
it's like a physical embodiment of lost time, and you don't need to see it.
I feel differently. We do have an America's Most Haunted in the shop. It is Franken game. It is every part that we couldn't put in your games. Because it was irregular or scratched or dented or whatever the case may be. It has the ball arch that Ben nicknamed the root of all evil because I put a lightning bolt on it that looked like a tree root when we got it back. That's our ball arch.
The ghost is much better. Yeah, it's basically a game built out of seconds. But didn't I borrow it in the spring to do a big code update?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Franken game is now at my Rob Zombie programmer's house, and I think this is where we were going earlier before we kind of got sidetracked.
Never.
That never happens. Rob Zombie has been very nice because we have a programmer, David Fawcett from Fawzma Games, is doing the code in that under Ben's direction. Ben is a Nazi. He makes sure that everything stays in control.
No, I'm the Dotsy.
The Dotsy. That's what...
Put a black stroke around that, and put a black stroke around that, and that needs a black stroke.
It needs to be more visible. So, yes, Ben basically...
I will bitch about it. If I don't think it's going to be visible enough on the screen, I will let you get... Well, you know I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, no, I mean, you can visualize it. You can be like, okay, that looks good. But when I think about... Well, and I wrote the dot driver and everything, too, for the display. And the AV stuff has been updated as well on Rob Zombie. Although it's still using the Pinhex system because it works. Although we're beefing it up with like 4-layer internal ground plane, more fuses. Anyway, so I have an intimate now. So I can see a move file or a MP4, and I can basically see it in a vision like, this isn't going to look so great on our new dot system. So I'm just going to complain about it now before they even bother converting it and putting it in the game. So I pre-complain.
But it's worked out very well to have this stuff spread out and not killing one human being, him.
Right, and... Yeah.
But at the same time, he keeps everybody on a short leash. He's like, I'm out of pinball, I'm done. You're doing that wrong. Come here.
Draw better. We came up with this really great collaboration tool. We use Microsoft OneNote. And so... myself and David Van Ness, the dot guy, we came up with most of the what we thought the animation should be. So it's really cool. So I could use my tablet or my walk. Is it? I never know how to. Is it Wacom? Wacam? Wokum? Wacom. It sounds like a video game, like Whack the Moles. Anyway, so it's really cool. You can actually do storyboard. So we set up a template of. What would be 16 to 4 ratio template. And then we're like, okay, we're going to do this. And everyone can live edit it and put in notes. It's really handy. So that's been a great tool for, even though we're all in different locations, we can collaborate on the design of the storyboards. And I'm usually like, put boobs here, make this all blood, have the limbs here. And so, like we mentioned, there is an adult mode, which is
by default off?
It will ship in family mode, and trust me, that's for a reason.
We got some flags. There's people, you know, there's, you know, double entendres and whatnot in America's Most Haunted, and people are like, oh, there should be a family mode. And we didn't plan it from the start to have one, so it would have been very difficult to put one in. But this game, we did from the start.
Yes.
So it's like if Sid Haig has, well, this is where I have programming. And this is where I, you know, lend my guidance, even though I'm not really programming. I'm like, okay, have Sid Haig do five lines. Have the first three be clean and the last two be really dirty. That way, when you're programming it, you can do a random selection from the first three, or if you're in adult mode, you do a random selection from all five. And so we have adult speech and dots. So, like, there's parts in the games, like Demonoid Phenomenon. We have the women flashing at concerts. So it's an adult mode. We might as well go for it. And the ball save animation is absolutely horrific. Wait till you see it.
It will be either the most famous or infamous. Brian Kelly, what do you think of it?
Infamous is famous for being bad, so it's the same thing, kind of.
It disturbed Brian Kelly. I can tell you when Rob saw it, his entire band laughed harder than I have ever seen four human beings laugh in my life.
Well, that's art. You want to get a reaction. You want to stir people's emotions. The problem is we can't think of anything sicker than what we did for the rest of the game.
We originally, and Ben and I, spent an entire weekend in my basement basically just storyboarding the game. Because Ben's like, how's this music game going to work? And I'm like, I love AC/DC. The rules are hard to understand, but it's just awesome. It's deep. It's, you know, it incorporates the music beautifully. And he's like, no, we need a story. So we came up with this thing where you're basically working up from, like, a roadie all the way up to Rob's tour manager. And we spent 2.5 months, maybe, working on this. And then Rob's like, you're doing what? That's corny. It sucks. Throw it out. Ugh.
Yeah, he wanted a straight horror
and
game.
He literally said, no, I want a straight-up badass horror game.
Which I think is good because that was around the same time that Predator kind of became no longer an option, and a lot of people wanted that because they wanted, like, that kind of R-rated kind of thing, and I think this game will fill the niche well.
In family mode, it's PG-13.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah, but I like it. David Van Ness has done a great job with the dots. He does, like, a lip sync, and everything's in an After Effects, just like, what is it? Oh, America's Most Haunted, right.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of what was it? A Thousand of a Thousand Corpses. You can't use things from the movie, but you can use. So like we use the illustration of Captain Spaulding from the back glass, and we do mouth animations from mm-hmm. him because we can't use his image from the movie. It's really weird, and we can't use the House of a Thousand Corpses insert has to look different than the House of a Thousand Corpses poster text does.
Basically, Rob owns the rights to all the characters because he created them. But he doesn't necessarily own the rights to the film images, and you know that's tied to movie studios, and then it winds up costing you a hell of a lot more money.
But if we
like Ben says, Alex Horley. Have everybody seen the backlash by now? The initial release. Captain Spaulding is right in there, and Baby from House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects and the Living Dead Girl from his music videos. We can use all that stuff because they're Rob's characters. We just have to use them in a way that is unique to the game, which is cool. It's right. All fresh and new. And again, Sid Haig did... How long did we talk to Sid?
Oh, we were up in his room doing recording for well over an hour, almost an hour and a half, 45.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 15 pages of dialogue. It's really deep. And he did an incredible job. It was an absolute blast getting to spend a weekend with him just hanging out and recording all this stuff. And at one point, too, I mean, we knew from day one that Rob was going to do a voice in the game, and we've got him for even longer than we've got Sid. Rob's like, the game needs a little more sex appeal. How would you feel about Sherry doing some voices? And I'm like, oh, please? So Rob, Sherry, and Sid all will have speech in the game. So
Rob's doing it later next month. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It'll be either the end of this month or early next month.
So. Well, I would say push it off as far as you can.
Oh, yeah.
We're having a production meeting now, apparently. I was going to say something about the... is there any way to get Fishboy into it? Because I'd love to have Dwight Schrute in the game.
Dwight Schrute, yes.
Which bear is best? Black Bear.
Yeah, what else has happened?
And I would have loved to have had it here, obviously. We did push for that goal. But essentially, it's down to the playfield art. And I am not going to bring it in here until it's done. And it's close.
So Alex draws in watercolor first on paper.
No, he draws in pencil first.
Oh. And then there's a couple steps. And then he redoes it again. He recreates it.
He literally does the entire game three times.
And then he does it. The final one's in oil.
Yes.
And then it has to dry before it can be scanned. It's nuts. But it's you can't get more hand-drawn than that.
Yeah, if people like hand-drawn art, this is the game for you because you can't get any more old-school hand-drawn real art than this thing. It's insane.
Chuck sent them a file, a full-size file of the playfield, and they print it out, and they draw on it at full scale. And then and it's like, don't draw here. You know, this target's here, blah, blah, blah. And then
Dennis would get a kick out of this. I mean, it's literally we printed the entire playfield on clear. This is where the art goes. Lift that up. This is where the inserts are. Don't go into those. Lift that up. This is the trap lines for all the inserts. I mean, it's just, it's insane, but that's what he does. He literally sets this on the canvas and registers one layer at a time and sketches it first. Then it's watercolor, gets the colors kind of close to where he wants. He shows that to Rob as like a color proof. Rob approves it, and then it goes to oil. And it's...
Yeah, and I've seen some of the art, and I mean, the next thing that's going to be revealed, and it's all very good looking, and it all fits, and Chuck's done a really good job working with Rob and Alex to make a really kick-ass art package. It kind of looks like the closest thing to a heavy metal pinball machine we'll probably ever get. I really like it. It looks like something from, you know, the kind of lurid art from like the late 70s and the early 80s, like Gorgar and Flash, but it was lurid, but the art was actually pretty bad. And this is like a good version of that, so. Like, Flash has got, like, some of the most god-awful art of any machine ever made. Even my first America's Most Haunted.
The elusive green edition.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, it's like that style, but done really well.
Well, if you like the backlash, you're going to love the rest of it. It's in that same tone.
But there are no exposed nipples. Close, no. But no exposed nipples, no, so it's right to the edge, because we knew... The game, the art doesn't have an adult setting. You can't just flip a switch.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry probably could on P3.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Going into it, I kind of wondered, you know, is Rob going to be one of these guys that just kind of, oh, hey, thanks for the check, and it goes to his manager? Uh-uh. No, he emails almost every day. If he's not happy with something, he will call me. It's pretty intense working with him. He literally approves every single piece in that game.
Every color.
Yeah, it's as hands-on as you can possibly get.
Can I tell the logo story? I thought that was funny.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So Chuck sends me this art one day, you know, and I'm supposed to be, you know, filming my show. I get the thing. He's like, what do you think? And, you know, Rob Zombie Spook Show International is the name of the comic book, right?
It's kind of a universal trade that he uses on a lot of different things. But, yeah, that's where it came from, was initially his comic book.
And it's this logo, an international, you know, it doesn't, it certainly didn't, it does, I'll say this politically correctly, it didn't fit the art style of what we'd done with Alex.
But it's essentially his trademarked logo.
Right. But I looked at it, and I'm like, Chuck, this, well, you remember how adamant I was about
that. Yeah.
This does not work. It's like putting a PowerPoint over a Rembrandt. I'm like, I bitched up a storm about that. And so that was a part where I was very pushy with Chuck. And I'm like, let's see if they'll change it. And Chuck's like, no. And we kept going up the ladder. And when we got to Rob himself, he's like, yeah, you're right. That doesn't work. Let's change it.
Yeah. Oh, but it was the managers went, no, that's his logo. You can't change this. And
so that's where you need me to push you further and further until you're like, fine. And then it's like, oh. And then in the end, didn't Rob end up doing the vector drawing himself?
I literally did. He's like, you know what? It doesn't work. You're right. It doesn't work. Let's throw it out. Let's do something a little bit more classic.
Because throwing things out and starting over is something very important in the creative design that more people, I think, should do. It's like, that sucks. Who cares how much work you spent on it? The movie Titanic, which made $1 trillion. There was a scene in that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio fights David Warner, and the test audiences hated it. But it was like a $3 million sequence with the ship sinking, and they cut it. It's like, it's not like nowadays where they put every goddamn scene in the movie. They cut it because it made the overall package better. So, yes, sometimes just
slashing things out is the best way to go. I'm sorry, I'm just really adamant about that, Chuck.
So anyway, I make like 8 classic-looking Rob Zombie Spook Show International logos, and I'd send them to him, and he's like, oh, I kind of like this one. I kind of like apart from this one. But I don't like any of them. I mean, I just don't love any of them. Give me a weekend. So, okay. Monday morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning, he's like, here, try this. I get a Photoshop file from Rob Zombie, and it's this pretty cool-looking Rob Zombie Spook Show International logo that's completely off the map. And I'm like, cool. This looks really good. You know, who did it? Rob's like, I did. I don't know a lot of rock stars that sit around on Photoshop on the weekends, especially one that looks like Rob and, you know, heavy metal badass dude. And just, he's insanely talented, and he knows what he likes. But he did let me color his logo, so I'm happy. And that's approved now, too.
Well, yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, Rob will definitely give you a lot of feedback, but you also get basically instant approvals from the top.
Yep.
So it helps get things done. He's very hands-on. He's a, you know, he's a pinhead.
And like in the cool department, 2 weeks ago, KT and I and Bug, Rob's performing here in Chicago at the Great American Nightmare. He's got 3 haunted houses. He performs there 2 nights out of, you know, it's there a little over a month. And we show up, and as soon as we hit the gate, the guy sees the spooky pinball trailer. Oh, you're the pinball guys. Go straight in. He's waiting for you. I'm like, oh, are you kidding? We go through the door, right up an elevator, get it set up in a room, and KT's kind of answering customer emails and stuff, and Bug and I are just walking around and watching sound check, and there's like 3 people in the auditorium while we watch the entire band play 5 songs. And I mean, just as a fan, I'm freaking out. And Rob walks in, and the band comes right behind him, and they're going over every square inch of the game. And Bug, if you guys listen to the podcast, he's a fairly mature 13-year-old. He's like, what's up? Just casual talking about Alice Cooper with the bass player, and the bass player's like, how do you know this stuff? Man, that album came out in like 74. That's older than I am. Bug's like, well, I love Alice Cooper, man. And he talks to Rob, and, hey, Rob, man, I love your stuff. And Rob's wife walks in. Hi, I'm Sherry.
And shook his hand.
And Bug's like, yeah. Yeah, I know who you are. I've never seen him get starstruck before, but that was hilarious.
It was when Sherry Moon came in?
That yeah.
Got
oh, yeah, yeah.
He walked over and shook his hand, and he was just like, oh, my God, couldn't form sentences, anything, and then she left the room, and he, wow, oh, my God, I totally fanboyed it.
Just yeah.
Freaking out.
He's like, I said 10 things at least that made no sense whatsoever.
And then Rob's guitar player, John 5, walks over and pats him on his good shoulder because he's got a broken shoulder. And he says, that's okay, dude. She has that effect on people.
But she loved the game, and she insists that when they get theirs, it shows up in non-family mode. And we're actually going to have Sherry record a line when you go from family mode to adult mode in the menu. Are you sure? It's going to be a little more explicit than that. I just don't want to.
Didn't she completely shoot down my hopes for the different back box? You remember?
Yeah, Ben wanted to do a little bit different back box animation, and
the color
noticed,
changing.
And it's more subtle in Rob Zombie than it is in Ben's game. But, oh my God, the back glass changes color. Look at that, Rob. And she's like jumping up and down, and I'm like, yep, not changing a damn thing, heck.
Well, in America's Most Haunted, I wanted to have controlled lights, like for the lightning and the crystal ball. And Chuck's like, it's a lot easier just to dupe the RGB because, you know, we were in a crunch. And so it wasn't really planned that way. That way, like when the game itself goes green or red or whatever, the back glass does as well because it's literally tied right together.
Yeah, it's the same chain.
Right. But whereas in Rob Zombie, it was designed the way from the start. So most of the time it stays white, but it changes color for effect. And after seeing it in person, I'm completely fine with it.
Yep. And there's also going to be an RGB strip in the back of the cabinet, giving away too much detail, but there's this whole little Captain Spaulding world and the murder ride and things in the back that we can control light directly over it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, our AMH customers, you know, a lot of people will put like a black light or an extra bank back there. And so we're like, hey, this is a great thing that our customers are doing. Let's steal it. but I think we definitely need to beef up the power supply, because I think at a certain point we
already
too
done.
Many mods and
okay, already
good,
done.
Good.
Where have you been? It's already done.
We don't want to, you know, mod it out. So, you know, as some of you probably know, I troll Pinside a lot because
I do not. I'm afraid.
I troll enough for both of us. But I mean, it is always great to get ideas and information from people, and you know, just to listen to people. Like the one thing I always love to tell people to freak them out is that like I know the Weiss Snow guy in real life. He's in my pinball tourney, and sometimes he can be a bit much, but he's had really good ideas. So, I think great ideas can come from a variety of places, and I'm always looking for great ideas because the audience or the buyers, 100 people, 150 people, that is more data than you're going to ever figure out. It's kind of like when a video game gets released, and you know, there's no way EA can test the kind of bugs that 5 million people are going to find. And pinball's like that on a smaller scale, so we always like the feedback to make the next games better.
And I'm, for one, not just saying this because he's sitting here, but I'm really glad that Ben has kind of stuck around, because I was afraid there for a while after America's Most Haunted, he would be like, I hate this. I can't do it again. It was too much. It was too hard.
Well, I did say that.
He has, like 18 times, but he keeps coming back. And he's like, wow, we could do this and change this. And I'm like, isn't that going to be a lot of work? Well, I'll do it. I'll do it. Awesome. Cool. Don't hurt yourself. So I'm not dumb enough to think that we're not strong without Ben. We need Ben. So
yeah, I have done a lot of work on Rob Zombie.
Yes,
it won't be as upfront as it was with America's Most Haunted, but there's definitely a lot of my fingerprints on it. And it's been good working with David, the new programmer.
Spreading out that.
Started. Yeah, we should talk about that, because people ask about him a lot, because people, I think they care more about the code in games now than anything else, so it's a very pertinent question.
It's cool, because he's a game designer. You know, he's done a lot of video games, phone games, that kind of things. But he's fairly new to pinball.
Well, so was I.
Yeah, and so, you know, exactly. But it's cool because, okay, we can say, look, this is pinball tradition. You've got to follow these guidelines. You can't stray too far from that. But at the same time, he comes up with completely random stuff that we wouldn't think about because, well, I've never seen that in a game before, so why would you do it, you know? And I like that.
A pinball game, but younger people, it's kind of sad when younger people is like 39-year-olds. Dave and I are the same age. you know, we are more into video games, and we bring a lot of that mentality into it. And, you know, America's Most Haunted is very video gamey. There's ghost bosses. They have power, and, you know, there's 1, 2, 3. And it was very gamey. And a lot more story-driven, like video games are now. And, I mean, I think David, you know, is bringing that same kind of thing to Rob Zombie.
And
not all of his ideas are great. You know, we'll obviously tell him, like, no, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. There's been things that I've shot down quickly, like Ben. I felt like Ben. It was like, no, you can't do that.
That's your job, Chuck. You're supposed to do that.
Yep.
You need to be meaner.
No, that's why I'm around.
You're the voice of reason?
I'm the voice. No, I'm the mean one.
Oh, really? You're meaner than Chuck?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's cuter than me, too, so I don't care. But yeah, it's been great having other people take some of this responsibility and be able to run with it. And it's like, I'm as excited as anybody when I get the game back. And David Fawcett and Van S just run. And there's new code, and there's new dots, and there's new sounds, and there's new...
Yeah.
I don't see any of it. And I don't care.
Yeah.
Like until I see it. You know, then I'm like, that's awesome. It's all new to me when I see it. I rate the basic rules. This is what it's got to have. This is why I designed this shot the way it was and things, you know, of that nature.
Yeah.
But when they kick stuff back at me, and half the time those three will just go and they'll have a meeting and I'm trying to, you know, not kill myself in the shop, keeping up America's Most Haunted and the daily duties and getting the new shop built. And
well, they've been even autonomous without me. I mean, they've definitely...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the four of us, you know, working together at the start, we kind of helped guide it the way we wanted it to be. You know, I was... basically telling people to put black strokes and everything, as I mentioned. Hey, if you can't see it on the screen, then why put it on the screen? Anyway, because the game is still at 128 by 32. That part hasn't changed. Once we let them know what our ideas were, that we gave them the direction, now they can take things and they continue to work in the way that we've set up, and that's great. That's how it should work. That's direction.
And Dennis and I have had this conversation. Hey, Dennis, you know, he's in my basement looking at my white water. How in the hell did you guys manage it? He's like, I don't know. He would literally build it and just turn it over and off it would go. I get it now, Dennis. I understand. That's awesome when you can do that. We'd never had that option with America's Most Haunted. Everything went through Ben or me or whatever. And it's just, it's so nice to be able to see work get done and you didn't even have to be involved. It's a new feeling. I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's all part of growing your company. And speaking of growing, I saw that there was a pile of dirt in Benton that had been pushed over or something.
Yeah, as of Thursday, we broke ground. These guys here with the cameras and that lady back there have been following us around for about a week, kind of shooting a documentary on us because I don't know why. I'm not that interesting, but luckily, yeah, on Thursday we were able to break ground and capture a little video of that, and that'll be part of it too, I'm sure. But
and yesterday with
huge.
Your with Rich, who bought the the charity game,
sitting right there.
Oh, there. Thank you again, sir.
Stand up, Rich. Rich, out at Pinball Life yesterday, ended up with AMH number 150 and made a tremendous donation to a great cause. Something that meant something to him and us and Brian Kelly right there too. So,
and as a bonus, he gets the finest pinball machine ever made about paranormal ghost hunting.
According to Roger Sharp, but we can't verify that he ever actually said that.
We got to put that on the box and put it on the flyer.
So, yeah, basically we're, and Brian has, there's 2,000 square feet, and I think Brian's drank about a beer in every square foot in of our old shop. It's a disaster. It is a cluster. It is disorganized. It is everything we can do to fit it into this little shoebox and just make it work. And I don't know how we have, but we have.
Yeah, your whole shop, or well, you have two units, but it's probably smaller than this room easily.
Oh, yeah. By a long shot. Yeah. Yeah, so. It's right around 2,000 square feet. So the new shop is going to be 60 by 90. It's I think that breaks down to like 5,104 feet or something like that.
Well, you're trying to grow conservatively.
Yes, and there's... It's not going to be fancy. It's going to look spooky on the outside. It's blood red with black trim. It's going to have a big lit-up ghost on the front. And
it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what did the state say about that?
No. We haven't run that past the village board yet.
Well, I'm just going to put it up and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, you do that.
You can't make it too gaudy, or they'll run you out of town.
But just, again, part of living in a small community, we're in a business incubator. So, essentially... If this is the incubator, this wonderful pinball magazine that Jonathan just gave me, we're in a tiny little corner of it. We get affordable rent. We get freight docks, forklifts, all that kind of cool stuff.
And a huge parking lot so that the trucks can turn around in.
Yep. Everything around this place is industrial park. It's all land owned by the village of Benton. Again, this is a town of 900 people. We got to the point where, well, hey, look, there's nowhere else to go. We can't rent any more shops in here. They give us an acre of land. Here you go. We go to the title company, $1 and about $400 to transfer it into our name, and boom, we've got an acre of land. That's what it's like to live in a small community, and that's how we exist. All the contractors, everybody is people we know, they're friends, they're bending over backwards to help us get this built affordably and letting us...
So this is how small town it is. The excavating company is owned by my kid's kindergarten teacher's husband. The electrician is my Taekwondo instructor's brother, and his two sons take class with us. And the plumbing and heating guy was one of my customers I signed up at the bank.
And his brother is our kid's gym teacher.
Yeah.
So that's Benton. Brian knows. And you just go, where's Charlie? And you just any door in town. Oh, he's over there. He's the pinball guy.
And the new building, it's near the business incubator, so you actually are attached to the same parking lot.
Yeah.
So you already know the semis can get in for loading and unloading, so you don't have to drop even more concrete.
New yep. We're right off the end of the parking lot. There's a huge freight access right here, which in the industrial park, if you have freight, you have to be off street. You can't be backing a truck on the middle of the road. So... the village just says, oh, okay, well, here's an easement, free of charge, take that. Boom, you've got our entire freight access to attach to your building. That saves us about $30,000. That's huge. And again, you know, it's not going to be fancy on the inside, although KT did demand that she gets her own bathroom. Being the only female in there, I kind of guess I understand that. So it's two bathrooms, a mechanical room, and my office is a desk against the wall because I don't have an ego and I don't need one.
No, that's the best place to have an office. Like my office is in the middle of my shop because I want to see things. I want to build things.
Exactly.
Because if you squirrel, that's how you have it. If you just squirrel away yourself into an office, you don't know what's going on.
No.
You could be in there watching porn all day. Oh, sorry, KT. He doesn't do that. But bad bosses do.
Her desk's right next to mine, so no.
But no, I think it's really important. You just want to, you want to be part of it. You want to make everyone think that, ooh, he's better than me, or, you know, he's got a cooler hat than me. You know,
he's wearing sunglasses at noon.
Prescription sunglasses, so I can see all of you perfectly clear. What am I looking at right now? Who knows? Anyway, but yeah, it's always good to stay on the ground level and, you know, just kind of be one of the guys and it gets stuff done, you know, because going in there and getting your hands dirty. And I know I'm kind of like a aloof programmer douchebag these days, but, you know, I got my hands dirty. I mean, I was building everything back in the day and I helped you. And because I was in New York and I thought you and BK were going to get that whole prototype wired. And then I came there the next week. And we had to rewire it. I'm like, what did you guys do all week? Just drink? But from the photos, I think that was true. That game is still operational. It's still in the bar at Benton.
Yep, that's the one that's at Lawrence's, that ugly wired prototype game from hell, the terrible. First one we built. Still sitting there, still on location, still plays great.
Okay, I think, so this is 1 hour and 15 minutes, so we're at about the 45-minute mark. So do you want to start segueing into questions, or is there anything else about Rob Zombie you want to talk about?
I can't wait to show it to you, but I can't tell you anything about it. He is very particular about we're not going to let much more out, so I'm glad he allowed the back glass out.
Do you think we should speak to the differences from it and the Pinball Zombies? Because people have asked that a lot as well.
Sure.
Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so Chuck's, you know, you were working on it, and I'm like, Chuck, I want to change this, 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 and this. So again, I was being mean to Chuck, and so I took his white wood. This is probably like, what, last fall, or?
Yeah, it's been a while.
A while, yeah. So I took it, and I started ripping everything off of it. As I said, I just love removing things. And we did a lot of rework, and we put more loops into it, and we put, was it a soft lock? Oh, yeah, we changed the physical lock into a soft lock because it gives you more programming options. We put in, you get the new drop target from Terry, right? So we use that as a binary gate. I know, you know. So, we've done quite a bit too.
We've opened some shots. Give it a little bit more flow. It's still as crazy and random as I wanted it to be.
But that can be controlled with software.
It is. It is, yes. Now it's changeable, basically.
Yep. I love the way the orbits have been opened up, so you can go, you know, either way you want.
And it was when we took Pinball Zombies from Beyond the Grave. It was rushed. It was MGC a couple years ago. It was, I will never do that again.
But you basically just wanted to, like, look, I have two games next to each other.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted, you know, everybody knew that Ben's game was there, and I just wanted to show, look, we're going to keep moving forward. This isn't just a one-time thing, and I really did quit my job, and I'm really trying hard to make something out of this. But we're to the point now where I don't ever have to do that again and won't. It'll, when it's done and it's ready to show you and it looks great and it plays great, that's when I want you to see it.
Well, remember the first time we showed America's Most Haunted? It was America's Most Haunted inside of the Pinball Zombies cabinet. The Pinball Zombies back glass, because we're like, well, we have a finished playfield and a finished cabinet. They don't match. Let's put them together.
Yeah.
That was very confusing, and I think
we never still had hand-soldered brass habitrails that Ben put together and wooden ramps, and it was...
It worked! It did. Steve Ritchie, I was so nervous that I walked in and Steve Ritchie was playing, and I'm like, oh no, it's Steve Ritchie playing the game that has wooden glued-together habitrails. I would say that even that was probably about 85%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty much what we shipped. All right, well, I guess now we're going to open up to questions for, I don't know, about 15 minutes, I reckon, from what I heard from... Is that about right? Where's time person? Okay, all right, so, yeah. Okay, questions.
Dan.
So the dots, I actually just reported. So we got the standard dot matrix.
the dotting information. In terms of a rock zombie movie or video, I'm going to expand on that a little bit. How bad is it, or how?
Are you asking if it's limited by the technology, or how far will we go with it?
Both. As it's still red, or is it a different color? Is it going to be red?
Yes. Color is indeterminate at this time. Anyway, as far as... Okay, so that's my vague answer on what color it ends up being. As far as the gore level, yeah, that's pretty gross. We put some really sick... David Van Ness and I are actually a lot more depraved than you might imagine. So we've come up with some pretty gross stuff. But again, it can be turned off.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's still... Actually, I think it needs more blood still. Like just blood running down the screen.
And it's not like constant gore. It's gore when it's required.
And we
or it makes sense.
We will, and for four-player games, we will try to keep all four scores on the display more than we have in America's Most Haunted, because I know some tourney guys don't like that.
I've actually heard Ben say things, what do they want? I'm going to put an LCD above this thing with just four scores on it. Leave me alone.
I think it's more important when you're in a mode to give players as much information as possible as how to do the mode. Like, shoot here. I mean, you still have your score, ball number, etc. But shoot here or do this. And that was, a lot of people say, wow, when I played America's Most Haunted in 2014 Expo, it was like a whole different game. And that's because I had gone in and added just tons of like extra animations just telling you what to do. And I think Rob Zombie were continuing that, right? We have all sorts of custom stuff. Like the witch, you're like, you know, jiggling here and the, you know, shoot here. Then she's jiggling here, shoot there. It's like, tell the player the rules. They should know via voice, the lights, and the screen. Three ways.
How many people have seen House of a Thousand Corpses? Raise your hands. I'll give away one little piece of art change. When you get your game, there'll be a plastic installed that says Red Hot Kitty Lovers.
Because there's no adult mode on
Todd's art. Giggling. Okay. If you haven't seen the movie, you're not going to understand what that is. But the other one will be in your goodie bag.
Yeah, there are some very cool animations. Like, you know, like in the end of House of Thousand Corpses where she's walking down that hallway of all the corpses.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the score counter, as I mentioned, all the information. It's got the corpse counter, and then it's like this continual loop going past all the corpses down the hallway. And I think it's cool. Like, the screen shouldn't just be a bunch of numbers. It should be telling a story visually. Another question. Yes, sir.
Yep.
I'm really good at tuning out. I only listen with half a ear, and then when they get too bad, I'm like, oh, okay, guys, that's enough.
Yeah, what?
She only gets really annoyed when Ben and I start doing lyric throwbacks and forth on 80s weird songs.
Oh, yeah,
because
we were rewriting a Tina Turner song this morning in the car, and she's
no,
stop.
I hadn't had enough coffee. You don't do that. You wait till I've at least had three cups of coffee before you start stuff.
Are you
like
saying
that.
You don't need another hero?
Oh, where's the duct tape? That's also the reason I can deal with them.
My Brian Kelly GPS will know the way home.
I duct tape their mouth shut.
Your GPS, why do you think a GPS with Alzheimer's is better than Google navigation? That's what I want to know.
He's not even here. Don't pick up.
It was a big technology argument on the way in here. Yeah.
Okay. Another question from someone? Yes, sir.
How does the average person in Benton think of your company? Are you making Benton world famous? And does everybody take great civic pride that their town has been so elevated? Or... what's the town?
Well, the owners of Lawrence's thank us a lot because we bring so many people there and we've got their name out everywhere. And we were just talking on parent-teacher conferences Thursday night. The guidance counselor and the superintendent of schools and the principal of school, they're trying to work with us to start, like, work-to-school programs with some of the kids who are not going to go to college. They're not college material, but they want good-paying jobs. They don't want to leave. So we're trying to work with the schools to get some the industrial tech teachers in on it, too. So
it's hard to believe. My best employee is 19 years old, and this kid will run circles around me. And Brian Kelly's nodding because you find guys like that once in a blue moon. And it's good that, you know, the school is really willing to work with us to bring in some of these kids that might be tech school bound or something like that. And they can work with us to kind of grow into the company. They learn a trade. They're learning, you know, how to solder. And Lucas even does 3D printing files that if I get stuck, he'll come over. Yeah, he'll come over and he'll fix it. Yeah. It's just awesome. And, yeah, it's... You know, you don't necessarily have to have college graduates in every single position, especially in a manufacturing company. And, you know, we do our best to treat them very well, especially when you get good ones like this guy. Take care of them and help them grow with the company. You know, I would much rather be paying good people than paying myself right now. We need to keep those guys. Yeah, Katie doesn't give me a check anyway. But it's more important for the company to grow that we have that good foundation and good employees than it is for us. I mean, our rewards will come later. I'm not worried about it.
Right. Most of the money you reinvest right back into the company, which is what you should be doing with the small
business. The new building is getting paid for by us. I'm kind of proud of that.
Paid for by you via money you earned after shipping a game that was completed. So after it's done, not before. I love to twist that knife, but it's important. It's true. It's true. You have a question, sir?
It's a hell of a work incentive program if your next paycheck depends on you finishing something.
Right, right.
So on production, you started out maybe 2 or 3 games a week. So how are you doing now, and how far are you through that for most time? And when you're in the new building, how many employees
I'm hoping that when we hit Rob Zombie, we have like 6 full-time guys. And that also means that there's part-timers doing assembly work. My kids are still doing wire harnesses and things like that. And yeah, I mean, everybody's involved in the family. If you're an Emory, you're going to be making pinball parts.
You're like a pinball farmer.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the farm family's around, you know, you're out to tasseling corn. So I guess that beats, you know, this beats that anyway.
Yeah, air conditioning.
We could be doing an AMH a day right now, which was a huge goal when we started. We wanted to get to that point. Honestly, we're kind of dragging our feet a little bit because if we run out of America's Most Haunted before we go to production on Rob Zombie, we're in trouble. I can't lay people off and get them back. That training takes time and it's hard and you don't want to lose good people. So basically, we want to be done with AMH right about January 1st and then go straight into Rob Zombie the next day.
I have a comment on that. So as far as, you know, shipping Rob Zombie is concerned, I did one of the things I've done behind the scenes, I guess that I'll talk about here, is I've worked to make the update process much, much easier on Rob Zombie than it is in America's Most Haunted because...
It sucks.
It's a definite negative of it. I mean, it's a drawback to using microcontrollers instead of a Linux-based ARM system or PC. So that's a challenge we've had to work with. We're very happy that our customers are accepting of the challenges of updating America's Most Haunted. But even though Rob Zombie uses the same board set, I've done some tricks. So basically, you just create a new SD card image, stick it in, and it'll do everything for you.
So that's it. Download the files, SD card, done.
Even Mac users can do it because for some reason Mac users can't connect to our board. Yes, sir? Or who was it?
Chris has a question.
Chris.
So you can say that you have to...
You know, I get. I think Ben even said at one point, like Pinside had a. What's the Spooky's next game? I don't know. We're kicking around ideas, and let's say we've been very blessed with shipping America's Most Haunted and landing Rob as. You know, our next game, we've had a lot of people come to us offering licenses, which is like, whoa, this is cool. And we've definitely got some options, but until Rob Zombie is done and moving, I can't even think about it. I'm so overwhelmed right now. It's hard to keep up some days.
I want him to start sleeping again, as in more than 3 or 4 hours a night. So if we add anything else to that brain... Not only is he not going to sleep, I won't be able to sleep because his head will explode on me.
It is a challenge, though. It kind of prevents you from having parallel development, which means it's more serial. If it's not parallel, it's serial. Wow, that was an amazing thing that I said. I'm so cool.
My Little Pony system.
Oh, I thought Steve Ritchie was going to make that. What happened?
Friendship is magic.
That's what he would say.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I actually got a tax question from the internet, so I'm just going to read it. Doug in Minnesota wants to know if the game will come with a preview with LEDs or will it be an add-on?
I think it'll be an add-on because we want to keep the price under. Ben's yelled at me 500 times because there's a lot of stuff going into Rob Zombie. I want to keep it under $6,000. I think.
Yeah, I was like.
I think he got convinced last night finally that that was a good idea.
The price point?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, Chuck, I saw the game where someone put like nice coin takers in it that were color matched. I'm like, this is beautiful. Add this as an option. Add whatever percentage to make it worth your time to make it different. And everyone will buy it. And how many people bought it as an upgrade?
I think we've shipped 3 games without it in the last 6 months.
But I guess it's one of those psychological things, you know. It's like
it just takes time. It all takes time.
Right.
That's the
problem.
If you can
keep it at a price point, and if it's the customer's choice to go past that by $100 or whatever, then they have agency. They have control of that. So they've decided to make it cost more.
And yeah, we could start throwing in plastic protectors and higher grade LEDs and all this kind of stuff, but it all adds cost to the bill of materials. At some point, you have to raise the price of the game if you keep doing that. And we've added a lot to this game that I think people are going to be a little surprised by.
Well, there's this whole thing called inflation. So, yes, eventually the price, of course, of everything has to go up.
Right. But I want to hold that $59.95 price point and just keep that magical under $6,000 number as long as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to be in that $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 market. There's enough great games out there at that price point.
Well, I won't say anything more about it, but I think there are more things you can. You open up options for yourself when you have a little bit more leeway with that. But this
welcome
is your
to my
for Rob Zombie,
welcome so. To my world.
Now, guys, that's another question. Quick,
yeah, about,
Bible
yeah.
Adventures will be $79.95.
Maybe 3 more questions, real quick. No, Bible Adventures is going to be $7,000. I told you that. I'm just going to pocket all of
well,
the
playfield's going to split in half like you're parting the Red
Not
Sea.
The whole
it's got some really cool stuff.
Just the upper left corner. Any more questions before we go? Yes.
Questions about the list. So I know you had said that you wanted to allow people to see the game where they committed. Some of us were really excited and hoping to see it here, but we understand it wasn't.
Thank you. Once we show the entire package, obviously it's going to go out to everybody that is on that initial 300 first. That includes anybody that bought in America's Most Haunted, and KT will do that in the order that they were taken from when we announced in Denver last year to now, which, and honestly, it's approaching 700 people. People are going to pass. We know people are going to pass. Artwork's too much, might be a little bit too suggestive or something. And again, there's no nudity in it, but it's a badass Alex Horley Rob Zombie art package.
Oh, there's nudity in the DMD if you select
it. Yeah, but not in the art package. You can turn off the DMD.
Would you say, when do you estimate you'll have a reveal? Because I'm sure that's a big question for people, too.
And again, it's all down to the playfield art. Rob has approved the cabinet, the back glass. All of the toys that Matt from Back Alley Creations did an insanely good job on. Yeah, Ben's nodding. It's a huge upgrade to go from like our 3D printed ghost, which was fantastic and cool.
Yep, it was the right choice for the time. But now we've grown up.
Oh yeah, but to have like real toys in this thing, it looks like $1 million.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good.
But again, it's gory, it's bloody. Some people are going to pass. It's I got little kids. I'm not going to be able to do that, and I totally understand that. That's fine.
Would you say,
but
by the
it'll
end
just
of-
keep bumping down that list, and you know if you're somewhere near 700, probably not going to get one. If you're low threes, I guarantee there'll be spots open. So,
do you think November?
My best estimate right now is we will have a completed playfield within 2 weeks. And then you're talking a week or two of us printing, assembling, doing everything we need to do to get a final package. Rob has to see the complete thing, sign off on it, and then we will... David Van Es will be doing another production video for us to show it. We'll be putting together game flyers, that kind of thing. And we'll send that out to our people on our list and see where it goes. realistically, it'll probably make its public debut in Texas. So,
When you do your video review online, just make sure you have as much video as possible. So if people don't have a chance to see it in person but still need to make a decision, they have as much visual information as possible.
And we've been honest and upfront about this, I think, from day one. It's going to be a $1,000 deposit and not a dime more until you get your game, period. I want to get to the point where we don't have to do that.
Let's clarify that. I send an email out 2 weeks before your game will be shipping so that you can start making arrangements for the payments and stuff. So when you get the email from me saying, hey, your number is up soon, it gives you a few weeks to get stuff ready. The guys finish everything up. It can get boxed up, and then it can ship. So when you get the email from me, then you know you'll be having it in a few weeks.
David Fix is telling us to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming, everyone, and have a good day.